Hello and welcome to the Just Interesting podcast, the show that's not interesting, not too interesting, but just interesting enough. Rowan, like that?
It was very good. That was unexpected. Great, Alex. That was great.
You've been thinking about that for a while.
Yeah, have a little bit.
when you did the intro, Alex, had it pre-planned? Very good.
Oh, let me just... wasn't expecting to have to give a speech. So joining me today, Alex, on the podcast today are Martin.
Hello. I've got an I am a tosser mug. So
good.
Fun fact.
Good start. And Robin, how are you today?
I'm all right. Thank you. How are you two?
I'm good.
Having
I'm energized.
Having fun. Yeah. You know what I learned this week?
What did you learn this week?
I learned the names of the seven key founding fathers of America.
I thought you were about to say the seven dwarfs.
No, not seven dwarfs. I knew those names already.
Go on then.
No.
Founding
but
fathers.
But can you tell me? Yeah, who do you say?
No, I can't
say. The seven most important founding fathers.
This isn't a quiz.
Oh, okay. Okay, well, it was interesting because the obvious ones, John Adams.
Yes.
Benjamin Franklin.
They're the ones.
Alexander Hamilton.
Of course.
I think everyone knows that one now. Thomas Jefferson.
Yep.
George Washington.
Easy. Rings a bell.
James Madison.
Rings a bell too.
John Jay.
Okay, not so much.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I was like, John Jay, who's that? Sorry, American listeners and American
who've
viewers.
Who've learned this for years.
Probably
since
know
the
this
age of five.
And think, John Jay, how can you not know who he is? Over here, never heard of him before.
Yeah.
So that was, John. That was the thing I learned
He's
this week.
The only one that didn't become a household name across the world.
And maybe he is. Maybe in like Moldova, he's the person that everyone goes, John Jay.
Yeah, in Moldova,
one of the American founding fathers.
I feel like American propaganda, particularly in Hollywood, has let John Jay down.
We need a John Jay biopic.
We do.
Stat.
We do. We need him to be name checked every movie. Mm. There must be one somewhere.
Somewhere where he's included as a prominent role.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's good.
The phrase founding fathers, extra fact, was coined by President Warren G. Harding in 1916.
Okay.
So it wasn't a thing before then.
Wow.
Apparently.
That's strange that it happened so late.
I would have thought, like, particularly in America, being like, oh yeah, the founding fathers would be there from day one.
Yeah. Yeah. I guess back then it'd be what, founding what?
They didn't really.
I mean, you've kind of realized something.
What
Yeah. Yeah, it has more significance now.
It's a bit
arrogant
saying we are the founding,
fathers. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
I love it.
But they were a bit arrogant.
You'd think so, maybe. And we're going to get hate for that.
We can edit that bit out. Martin.
Well, this week I learned about Singapore and their organ donation system. So they've got an opt-out system. So everyone is automatically on the organ donor register.
Yeah.
Okay, so they're thinking about that, bringing that in the UK as well.
Right? Okay, yeah.
So... And that's an interesting fact in itself.
Mm.
But if you decide to opt out of the system and not have your name on the list, then you're given less priority if you then need an organ.
Ooh.
Yeah. Ooh. So, and if you decide to opt back in, say you're like, actually, I've had a change of heart. I want to give my retinas. Yeah. You have to wait 2 years before you're eligible to be on the same status as people.
So people can't just be like, oh, my eyes are fucked.
I'm going to now opt in.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Mm. What do you think of that? I like that.
I kind of like it.
Do you think we should do something similar?
It feels.
So like,
it feels
almost
a little
like
bit.
Eye for an eye.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. You didn't put your name down, so screw you.
But it kind of, yeah.
It kind of makes sense, though, right?
It does make sense, yeah.
Yeah. But then you're getting into dangerous territory when you really think about it, because the logic there is if you're not part of the system, you don't deserve to benefit from it. Whereas we have a problem with that attitude over here, where it's like, if you're not putting into the welfare system, you don't deserve to get out of it. It's like the welfare system is there for the people who can't afford to put in.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
That's the difference though, right?
I guess everyone can
everyone
afford
has an organ. Yeah. What about those people who don't opt out but don't have the organ to give because of some medical
problem? I imagine they'll be all right. Yeah.
Okay, like secondary status or something. Exactly.
Ooh, sorry, you're blind and don't have eyes. So you can't get a retina.
You can't get one yourself because you can't give one. But I thought that was kind of like,
that's
okay.
Really, I kind of like it. Yeah.
I like the idea of it. I'd need to know more about it before I could fully endorse it.
Okay, fair enough.
Yeah. Well, I learned about a program called Cat Positive.
Really?
It's a pun there, probably. Yeah. Not a very good one. But it's a program in America, I think, that teaches orphaned cats to high five. So they're more attractive for adoption.
Where's this? Sorry, I didn't get...
I think... So it's like a program that goes to all different orphan shelters around the world. I think it's based
in
Iowa.
Orphan
shelters. In Iowa, okay.
Yeah, animal, like orphanages.
That's a thing.
Well, like animal shelters.
Yeah.
it doesn't sound like a priority, really, does it?
Yeah. Well, apparently, like there were 400 cats who took part in the program, and all
took
of them,
part.
And all
Did they
of them,
voluntarily
they wrote their names
part.
Down, they signed up,
yeah.
And all of them were adopted. So, I mean, hey, I think that, then, that is what, the kind that, of thing. If you go to if you go to a cat adoption place, you're going to get the cat that high fives, right?
Admittedly, yeah.
Sure. It's a good idea.
My cat high fives, but towards my eyes.
Yeah.
That's not so good. Also, I'm not sure the cat would want to be in a house with people that got him because he high fives.
I don't think the cat cares. As long as you're feeding him.
True. That's a good point. Interesting, though. I mean, it's preferential treatment to certain cats, though. Surely if they're all on a level playing field, there's no... shouldn't be like, I'm going to train this cat to high five. Like, what? Why?
I don't think they rock up and be like, right, that you've made the cut.
I just think it's a bit odd that someone would go into a cat shelter and be like, okay, I want that one because it high fives.
Yeah.
And for the people that taught it to high five are like, yeah, go that cat because we taught it, as opposed to them going... It's not like people would rock up and then not get a cat because none of them high-fived, right?
Yeah.
It's like they'll get a cat anyway.
Yeah.
So the whole thing about rescuing cats is that are they going to be like, oh, we've adopted this cat because we like the look of it. Oh, well, there's one over there that high-fives. We'll get them both.
I think that could be it. That could be it.
Yeah. That'd be great. But it does sound a little bit like... I know, you can apply that logic to any other situation. And it's just like, you're up for adoption as a child. You're a human child. And if you're not trained... in high-fiving or potty trained, they're not going to take you.
Yeah.
Like, that's a little weird when you apply it to another species.
That was the parent trap, isn't it? That's the basis of the parent trap, isn't it?
No way. Is it actually?
No.
No.
I mean, that is surely. a messed up premise.
I can't really remember that.
They split them up at...
Why did they do that again? What was the reason?
For plot reasons, Robin.
I watched the original one a lot when I was a kid because my sisters really loved it.
Yeah,
that's okay, Robin. You don't need to justify.
My sisters really loved it.
Yeah. No, I enjoyed it too. But I can't remember why they're separated. Actually, now that you mention it,
Just for plot reasons.
Yeah, just for plot reasons.
But I mean, it's like some animal shelters train dogs to do certain tricks because it just makes them, encourages people to like, oh, we've got to get that dog. It can roll over and play dead.
Yeah, I understand that if it's a dog that's not likely to get, adopted regardless, right? If it's it's only got three legs and it's missing an eye and it's really, really old, but they can high five.
Hey, it's got three legs and it can high five.
Yes,
kind of talent. Would you take the three-legged dog that can high five over the four-legged dog that can high five?
Actually, dogs can high five quite easy, can't they?
They can, in fact.
Just give you a paw, isn't it?
I have to confess, just last night I was watching Flashdance, the 1983 movie. What a feeling. Yeah. And there's a dog in that. She has, the main character has a dog who's kind of cute, but he's one of those terrier type dogs. It's kind of scary, but he's actually quite adorable. At the end of the movie, the final scene, the dog is waiting, or rather, another character who doesn't own the dog is waiting with the dog. And the dog must be so well trained that he bends down to just kind of say, look, there she is. And without even looking at the other character, the dog just kind of holds out its arm like that. And the actor is just like, I'm going to rescue the situation, and just holds the dog's paw just to kind of like, it's like good thinking. Because I don't know, the dog must be trained to be like, oh, my owner's coming bending down, so I'm just going to put my hand out like that for some reason. But it was so cute. I was like, I want that dog.
They've kept it. Yeah. It's definitely dead now.
It's definitely dead.
But definitely. Like, long gone.
But like, it's just
two kinds of people.
Yeah.
Definitely dead.
Nice. Well, that was what I learned this week.
Yeah, that was interesting.
Very good. Very good. High-fiving cats. Organ cats. Donation. And, some very contrasting topics there.
Yeah, I think this is a revealing of what we look at online more than anything else.
Cat adoption programs. Is there something you want to tell us, Alex?
I like cats. I'm adopting cats. No, hang on. Don't focus on me. Martin's the one talking about the Singapore organ donation system.
That's true.
Yeah, fair enough.
Well, he's got a family to think of, so.
Getting all the organs in while
which,
we can.
Which country would you like to move to most? Well, Singapore, because.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a good point. It's a good point. It's worth thinking about. You never know. So I thought we'd take the opportunity to thank a lot of our patrons because, especially over the last, since the channel started.
Absolutely astonishing.
Yeah, the support we've got on our Patreon has been fantastic. So if you want to sign up and be a part of it as well, then please do. We'll leave a link in the description. There's lots of bonus episodes and having your name on every episode of Just Interesting Too. But I thought we'd read out some of the names, just of those who've kindly pledged to our Patreon, because we can't thank you enough. We're starting from scratch, and it's really allowing us to do this. So thank you so much.
Yeah, the faith you showed just by supporting us when all we had was one podcast episode is absolutely astonishing. Just mind blowing.
Thank you so much. Yeah,
there are a lot of names.
There are. So we'll go through them really quick. And,
a bit quickly, but
shall I go through until I run out of breath, and you can take over, Alex?
Okay. Yeah. And I'd like to apologize in advance for names. Some pronunciations I'm definitely going to get wrong. So thank you so much to A Filthy Casual, Abby Weaver, Adam Coakley, Ahmed, Angus McChilly, Ash Heron, Asher Holland, Blake Austin, Bradley Foster, Brianna Foots. Okay, I'm so sorry for name pronunciations, by the way. Brian Benneker, Kerr Peterson, Carol C., Caroline Clark, Chris McCrite, Christopher Dietz, Dalton, Daniel Starr, Dave Patrick, Dina, Denton Peasley, Dev 800, Dulce Royale, Eddie Gurge. Okay, one of you guys take over.
Shall I go next? We were on Eddie Gurge. Edmund. Oh, you give me a. Edmund Manalui. Eric.
That wasn't intentional at all.
Eric von Reichel, Etienne Rochelot, Fox Matthew, Fred Pulford, Griffin Talent, Hayden Smith, Henrik Schloblom. I hope that's right. Sorry, mate. Hunter Elias, Ian Davidson, Jacob Howell, Jade Hayward, Jamie Neve, Jared Coombe, Jade, Johnny Lee, Joseph Donahue, Josh Chomatek, Kay Say, Kadith, Kat Hales, Kelsey Chakanas, Christina Howard, Colby Boone, Leanne Chamberlain, and Lisa. On to page two, Robin.
Madeline Reinecker, Marianne Kjeldsen, Matthias Fernquist, Matt Graves, Matt Lanson, Michael Wilmot, Nathaniel Orr, Nipple Man.
I hope that's your real name. I do hope that's your real name.
He's getting offended that we're laughing right now.
Preston Harrison, Raven Meekin, Robert Teenby, Sammy Metal Maiden, Sean Fury, Shauna, Simon Workman, Sophie Hobday, Stefan Kayford, Thajumbo, Tina, Tom Odlin, and Yuki Vasquez.
Thank you all so much.
Yeah. That's incredible. All 70 odd of you. And there are probably more at the time of recording this.
You're being optimistic, are you?
If we haven't, we won't be optimistic. If we haven't listed your name, it's because we don't have you on our list at the time of recording this. But indeed, we'll definitely thank you in future. So thank you again.
Thank you so much, guys.
Yeah, it's mad. And thank you so much.
So what's next? Weird news?
I think so.
Okay. You guys have some weird news stories that you'd like to talk about this week?
Yeah. I hope so. Yeah. I mean, I feel a bit, I hope this isn't too offensive. I call it weird news, but it's more like kind of unusual news.
We can be offensive now.
Unusual news. So
be as offensive as you want.
As you can.
Genuinely, I don't intend to be offensive. This is not so much weird news as just kind of unusual news.
Okay.
And it's as of January the 16th, 2020, a transgender woman called Ava Moore settled a case with Debenhams, which is a big high street,
department store,
settled the case for £9,000.
Okay.
And the case was over the fact that in the run-up to Christmas in 2018, in Ireland, Moore applied for a job as a temporary sales assistant, you know, just for the Christmas season.
Sure.
Didn't get the role, despite having a good interview and lots of experience, but Moore didn't do anything about the fact that she didn't get the role until someone sent her an anonymous email saying that she didn't get the job because she was transgender.
Oh.
Yeah. And Debenhams has settled, but admits no liability.
Interesting. So they don't know who sent the email?
Don't know who sent the email. I don't even know how that kind of factored as evidence into the case. Presumably it's very important evidence because it's somebody saying this, but how do you establish that anonymous
that could
email
have been
sender
from anyone?
Yeah.
Like and she could have just got some a friend to say that. I'm not accusing her. I'm just saying like that could have literally been anyone.
Yeah, I imagine that was a big part of Debenham's defense, right?
I imagine that it wouldn't have held up in court. But Debenham's just wanted it to go away and not to have a court case, so they settled regardless, right? Yeah.
That might be why it was. I mean, £9,000 is nothing to sniff at, but as a settlement, that seems quite low, doesn't it?
Yeah, sure.
For the not to have the bad publicity, is probably
exactly a bit of it potentially being true, right?
Yeah,
yeah.
We can't even speculate on it because I mean, I mean, she could have received discrimination, or maybe, I mean,
that's the thing, right? Like, with, of course, there's certain protocols that people hiring have to take.
Yeah.
You can't discriminate, especially in the UK. I don't know about everywhere in the world, but in the UK, you can't discriminate on age or gender or anything, or a variety of different factors. And one of those is, of course, you can't discriminate with someone being transgender, but you wouldn't necessarily know that you had been discriminated against unless something like this came out.
Yeah.
So it must happen all the time, whether very, very overtly or whether subconsciously that people do discriminate against certain candidates.
Yeah.
But you wouldn't necessarily know. It's just,
I mean, there's huge loopholes in the system, in Britain, this is, in the UK, sorry, because yeah, as long as there are multiple candidates, the employer just has to demonstrate that the candidate that they pick is the best one for the role.
Yeah.
And be able to demonstrate that it's not because of a particular reason, as you said, Martin. But at the same time, you kind of need those loopholes, because if, say, you've got a job and you've got 100 applicants, somebody will be able to say they didn't get the job because they were discriminated against, right? Mm-hmm. The odds are that there's something they could say, look, you didn't pick me because of this. And of course, if that's true, then they should have the power to take it to court, much as Ava Moore did in this instance. But until you have evidence like that email, how do you prove anything?
She wouldn't have known if that email hadn't come out.
Yeah.
Do you think there's a wider problem of people who are transgender getting discriminated against still? Do you think that's changed over time? I think that in the UK and probably the US as well, there's more awareness and acceptance in general.
Yeah.
I think there's definitely...
maybe that's, we're in a bit of a bubble maybe.
Being in a bubble. I think you're along the right lines with the subconsciously discriminating against. I think that probably happens a lot, especially like with recruitment and stuff into jobs. Like, it's pretty easy to choose one candidate over another and I think you can let personal biases get in the way of that. But how this came out, if this was a genuine email, I mean, that it must have been from one of the other recruiters or something, like one of the people on the panel who maybe didn't feel comfortable with what was being said about her, or I don't know. Yeah.
Presumably, it was someone who was involved in the hiring process. It was like, this is wrong.
Yeah.
But then didn't go through Debenhams HR or anything like that. Felt the need to send the email directly, to the person.
Which is unusual. Yeah. You think they'd take, maybe they're in HR, perhaps.
Maybe.
It could be.
A lower down the ladder. And
it's interesting. Yeah. These are anonymous, because there was another one recently, where I don't know if you guys heard about it. It was in the Midlands, I think, in the UK, and someone had a botched operation. It was for, what was it, for like the gallbladder or something.
Yeah.
And in the process, for whatever reason, a wrong IV drip was given to them and they died. And it was kind of hush hush until someone who knew about it from the hospital sent an anonymous letter to the wife, I think it was a man who died. I can't remember, wife or husband of the patient, said that something bad had happened, and now this particular NHS trust is being taken to court, being investigated as well.
Yeah.
And of course, the NHS trust, instead of going and basically apologising and admitting what they had done wrong, their kind of primary focus was to try and find out who had been the mole, who had that ratted them out. Which is, it seems odd, because apparently the staff were like interrogated, and there was like private investigators hired and stuff to look into them to find out who it was. And it's like, surely that's not your priority when something like this has happened.
Presumably,
and you've basically covered up the death of someone for you to cover your own backs.
That's terrible. Mental.
That came out in the news, I think, yesterday.
Pretty soon.
Or at least an advance on how the case is getting on. I saw it yesterday.
Wow.
So it's obviously not an isolated incident of people writing these anonymous letters.
It's bad that we have a culture in the UK that seems to be a pattern of people feeling the need to anonymously inform the individuals involved in an incident rather than just blowing a whistle officially, through the official channels.
Yeah. And they'll be discriminated against themselves, right?
Yeah. Well, exactly. That's the thing. People, whenever there's this some kind of anonymous thing, people will say, oh, why didn't they have the courage to come forward themselves and say this? It's like, because they would get fired from their job or whatever.
Clearly something is wrong.
Yeah, something's wrong if that's what would happen, the repercussions for being a whistleblower.
Yeah.
Also, they might not want to get, if they're involved but didn't say up until that point, they don't want to get in trouble for it as well. Like, legally, they could, with this person who died... Mm. If they were, say, in the operating room and you had gone on, it would be, why didn't you say earlier? And then maybe they don't want that either. It could be a personal preference to say it anonymously so they're not directly involved in the investigation.
Mm.
And the hassle that goes on with that too.
Mm. Yeah. Mm. Wow. Heavy stuff.
Yeah.
Well, I've got a bit lighter news.
Oh, good.
Is it ice cubes in cereal? Or?
No, but it's basically on the same level. no, this happened in Iowa. That's what I was confused with. An ex-husband has asked a judge for a duel by sword with his wife.
What?
Or someone she elects to fight as her champion. So I'm guessing this man, David Ostrom, he's in a court filing, and he said that his wife had destroyed him legally So I'm guessing they're getting divorced or something.
Yeah. That sounds like it. You'd hope so.
And he said, the judge was able to let the parties resolve our disputes on the field of battle legally, as trial by combat has never been explicitly banned or restricted as a right in these United States.
So that means it still could go forward.
He's asked the judge for 12 weeks' time, so he could find or make Japanese samurai swords.
That's not just a duel. That's like...
to the death, yeah.
That is like, yeah. It's not draw first blood.
To the death. He said he wanted to settle things on the field of battle where he will rend their souls from their corporal bodies.
I'm guessing she successfully super divorced.
Yeah. It seems like someone who's insanely angry with the process.
Yeah.
And in the end has just gone, screw it, let's just put up something completely ridiculous just to troll you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, he said that he was inspired by a case in 2016 when New York Supreme Court Justice Philip Minardo admitted that duels had not been abolished. And the unusual request stemmed from his feelings of frustration with his ex-wife's lawyer, Matthew Hudson.
Name and shame.
And he said... I think I've met Mr. Hudson's absurdity with my own absurdity. Yeah. So I think he's kind of doing it in a self-aware tone.
He knows it's ridiculous, surely. Yeah. He's not actually expecting a duel to go ahead.
Yeah.
Although he wouldn't mind if it did.
Presumably.
Yeah. And then the defense or prosecution, I'm not sure, but they basically responded by saying that they respectfully request that the court not order this done. And they ask the court to consider Mr. Ostrom should have psychological treatment.
I don't think it's going to do his case any good, is it, really?
Yeah, it comes across as clearly anger.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But either way, the Iowa District Court has not yet ruled on the motion, so it could go ahead.
I imagine he's representing himself. No lawyer would say that's a good idea, right?
But yeah, well done to him for finding that kind of loophole.
Yeah, I mean, fair enough, man.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
Yeah. It's kind of that's interesting though. I wonder if actually I assume duels have been abolished in this country, but I don't know.
No,
I don't they know. Kind of fell out of favor, but I don't know if they're actually technically illegal.
Well, there are all those old laws that still exist, like you can shoot a Welsh person coming over the walls of Chester after 7 p.m. or something like
no,
that.
No,
there's some crazy laws like that.
You're allowed to
officially haven't been
kill a Scotsman with an arrow on Sunday or something.
Which
isn't true. Like that's one of those rumored ones. I was like, it's true, but it's not actually. Like, it was legal it's one of those that's been abolished. Yeah,
it's technically not been made illegal, but the law no longer exists or something, isn't it?
Yeah.
But like, imagine if she took him up on this offer though, and was like, "Okay, I'm going to kill you." Yeah, let's do it.
I bet she won't. I bet if it does go that far, she'll find someone else to fight for.
Why are you assuming that?
Because she sounds like she's smarter than him.
Fair, yeah.
She would hire somebody who can...
An MMA fighter.
Yeah, with a samurai sword, would that really work? Yeah.
Yeah. It depends.
Oh, man, this is mad.
I think an MMA fighter would probably beat him even if he had a samurai sword.
Yeah, it's possible.
Just kick him in the face.
Unless he's super fast and just swipes the sword like that and the leg just goes... Yeah.
Nice. Yeah. Well, this week I wanted to bring a story that involves you two and me.
Oh no.
Well, and the rest of the world.
Right.
Humans have been getting cooler. Heard about this?
I think I did read this,
So my body temperature, the doctors say in medical journals.
Like 23 degrees or something like that, isn't it?
23 degrees?
Isn't that what it is?
37 degrees.
Oh, no, that's room temperature, isn't it? Yeah.
37 degrees.
37 degrees, yes.
And apparently this isn't right. So this was... in the early 1800s, this was classed as the standard body temperature.
Early 1800s? Wow, I didn't realize it was going back that far.
Yes, so 37 degrees. But since then, this has basically been proven to be wrong. And actually, men and women are, I think men are about 1 degree cooler than they were in the early 1800s, and women about 0.6 degrees cooler than they were.
So men are cooled more than women?
Yes, apparently so.
Because we're cool guys.
Yeah,
exactly. So they collected this data originally from Union Army soldiers from 1862 to 1930.
That is not the early 1800s.
And before that as well. This was the first mass collection.
Yeah.
And then since then, it's seen that our temperatures have actually cooled significantly. So it seems like it's 0.03 degrees Celsius have cooled respectively over each decade for that 150-year span.
Wow. Hmm. So yeah. Our bodies are getting cooler, yes. And the planet's getting hotter.
Is exactly.
It that's a good clothing? Mix.
It seems like that could be the case.
Because our clothing has definitely decreased in thickness and quantity.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, think about it. If it's Union soldiers, they would have been wearing a shirt and then quite thick cotton, probably at least two layers in those jackets.
That's true.
And they're in the United States. Mm. So
without aircon as well.
Yeah. I mean, the main things that they bring up here are the fact that we've grown in height and we've grown in weight and better medical care and public health.
Yeah.
And we have air conditioning and heating.
Yeah.
And so all of these factors mean that our bodies, we're more insulated, so our bodies are cooler in general. So the regulation of our body temperature is just in general is better, so we don't have to be as warm.
That makes fair sense. Enough. Yeah.
But also what amazes me is that this happened over such a relatively short period of time, right?
Yeah.
If it continues, we'll soon be ice.
No.
Well, that'd be cool, though.
It does make you think.
White walkers.
Yet another thing to chalk up on that humans are useless survivalists. Come the apocalypse column. You know?
Yeah. Oh, right. Yeah
another thing. It's like,
we're so well insulated.
Yeah, you just pampered yourself so much, you can't do anything. Hunter-gatherers, more like fat, lazy sods.
Yeah. Cold, fat, lazy sods.
Good self-burn.
Thank you.
Yeah. I mean, one of the other things that this article mentions is the development of treatments for infectious diseases. So we don't have as much inflammatory of our body and our organs, which caused heat, supposedly. So in the average temperature of people would have been warmer then because we would have been more inflamed.
Yeah.
Whereas since that's gone away, we're just in general cooler.
That's a nature versus nurture argument, isn't it? Like, are we naturally cooler? It's just that because we're always ill.
Yes.
Before, we were a
temperature higher.
Temperature.
Yeah.
Mm. People are like, oh no, it's natural to be infected.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah.
I mean, so that it means that when someone takes your temperature, if you're off school, you can no longer say, or you actually have more reason to say that you're unwell if your temperature's lower. As in before, you'd be like, oh, my temperature's 38, 39, I've got a temperature. Whereas now, it only has to be, 37?
So does that mean as well, people have been like, average. Oh, you're 37, you're fine.
Yeah. 37 is probably still fine. I imagine that there's significant variation from person to person, right?
Although a 2-degree increase is quite dramatic, though.
2-degree, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That would be true, yes.
I can just imagine the scenario where, past humans, the ghosts of past humans looking down on people, kids skipping off school because they're ill, just like in the past, they always joke like, oh, we used to be ill all the time, but now it's literally true.
Yes.
We were inflamed internally from infection all the time.
Back in my day, my body was 40 degrees.
Yeah, exactly.
And now I'm here.
It does make you wonder, though, like, dead previous ghost. To the early 1800s, was our body even warmer? What's the warmest our body temperature's ever got?
Yeah,
not being unwell or as an average.
I could cook an egg on my stomach.
Yeah, yeah. Back in the 7th century.
But I often think this, like when you go back, like distant past, like early humans and stuff like that, wearing animal skins.
Yeah,
like in freezing cold temperatures.
You'd expect them to have to be
warmer,
no
real
right?
shelter. Yeah, they must have been.
Yeah,
they must have been.
Yeah.
Oh. Mm. I'm glad we live now.
Mm. Yes.
Interesting stuff.
Skins for heating.
Interesting stuff.
Yeah. Shall we move on to the question of the week?
I think we should.
Yeah. What was the question of the week?
This week's question of the week, which we put to our patrons, actually.
And we did.
Get some of their responses. It's a bit late, as we're well into January now, but what are our predictions for 2020 is the question.
Never too late to predict the future.
Which I'm just realizing now.
Yeah?
Oh, no, it is a question. Yeah, yeah. No, I thought I didn't phrase it as a question, but...
It
is a question.
It
is a question.
So what do you think is going to happen?
Well, should we go over what our patrons think will happen and then discuss some of their predictions?
Yeah, I think that's a good idea. So
we asked the question, didn't we, Alex? We said, what's going to happen in 2020? Citing things like the presidential election.
Yeah.
The Olympics.
Things like the Olympics.
Oh, yeah.
People who we thought might die this year. So maybe we'll go over those.
Celebrities, those presumably.
Celebrities, yeah. Not just general people.
Karen.
Yeah.
Karen's definitely.
Which patron's going to die this year?
If I have anything to say about it.
So what did they say? What have we got?
Well, Angus McChilly, great name.
Thank you for your support, Angus.
Thank you, yes. Predicts that the Queen will pass away
Ooh, interesting. Okay.
And her reptilian form will be revealed.
Perhaps.
Robin, that's me, will upgrade his OS.
Well, you're going to have to, aren't you?
The rise of the AI will truly begin with tea as the main fuel.
Yes, because we can apparently we can no longer use Apple Lightning cables as of the near future. Do you read that?
No, I did.
It's actually
The EU's saying that has to be regular, standardized, not because they're trying to be overbearing, although I guess it kind of is. But there's, before there was like 50 different types of charging cable, and now there's only three, and they want to reduce it to reduce the waste of people throwing away charging cables.
I'm in favor of that.
Yeah, same. And makes also, sense, right?
Anything as well that helps discourage Apple from
just making new shit, so you can't use the old shit.
Yes, yeah, I'm in favor of that too. Mm. The Queen will pass away. Sadly, I have to say, Angus, that seems quite likely.
I don't think it's going to be the Queen. I think it'll be Philip first.
Yeah, Philip first.
And then she'll maybe follow in 2022.
Yeah. Given
2022?
I think so.
Well, her mum did live to 101, didn't
exactly,
she?
Exactly. The genes are there.
And they must have the best medical care in Britain.
Well, yeah. Oh, yeah. He's always going. Prince Philip's always going into hospital as a precaution, isn't he?
Yeah.
He's definitely getting his OS upgraded.
Yeah. And also, does the Queen die, or does she just shed her human skin and take on a new form?
Ooh, good question. Yeah, I'm not so sure about the second part, Angus, about her reptilian form being revealed. We'll see. Even if it is revealed, they'll keep it secret.
Robin's casting doubt on what you've said because he doesn't like that you're catching on to the second part of that Robin's upgrading his OS.
I'm not deflecting. What are you talking about? Although tea is the main fuel, is actually.
Tea is a good fuel. Just some water. Okay, fair enough.
I had tea before then.
It's not water, it's crude oil.
What else we got?
Denton Peasley says, due to the election results in the US of Trump winning, there will be a historic turnout of voters this year. Either for or against him, there will be the most voters in US history voting.
I could see that.
What do you think about that?
I could see that. I mean, there's a general trend towards voter apathy, isn't there? Even when Obama won his election and you saw the millions of people out on the streets. The voter turnout still wasn't insane, was it?
His re-election was kind of standard voter turnout, wasn't it? Not that exceptional.
Yeah. I do think that more people are paying attention to politics now, though. Yeah. I think he could be onto something. I feel like I don't know if it would favor Trump or be against Trump, but I think generally you can't escape him on the news. Like he's plastered front page basically every day, over here. So
what I imagine is that if there's a likelihood that Trump might lose the presidential race, you may well see an increase in people supporters of Trump going out and trying to ensure that he gets back into office. So I can see that happening.
See, but isn't that the great... that's always the great question, isn't it? Because Republican turnout is always reliably high, isn't it?
Mm. Yeah.
They have a greater or more consistently high voter turnout. I'm sure it can increase, obviously, particularly if there's a switch from voting Democrat to voting Republican, then Republican voter turnout will naturally increase. So my question is, given the voter turnout for the GOP was really high last time,
is there enough?
Technically, they still lost the popular vote.
Is there enough space to increase the vote?
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, good point. Yeah, it's true. I mean, will there be many new supporters of Trump? That's an interesting question.
It's hard to imagine there will be new supporters.
Yeah. I imagine it depends who's running against him as well, right? Because with Hillary, it was very much like, a lot of people didn't want Hillary to be in office as much as they wanted Trump to be in office. They just didn't want Hillary regardless, right? Whether that be because they didn't agree with her policy, thought that she was being hypocritical or whatever.
Yeah.
I think that had a real boost.
Yeah.
Now you look at the opposition candidates and you're like, okay, which ones will actually entice people to go out and vote for Trump?
I think the Democrats are on a losing streak, to be honest.
Do you think they're going to lose this one as well?
Well, if it's Biden, he's just another bland white guy, centrist to the point of almost being Republican. A lot of people won't want him. Well, why vote for him when they could vote for Trump? If it's not Biden, it'll be Sanders or Warren, both of whom
people think are
could do well in Britain, but in America,
I think you could go the other way, they would be considered left over there, right?
Yeah
by a lot of people, which Corbyn's considered left over here. If you draw parallels, there's definitely a move, it seems to be a move away from people being hardcore leftists,
or maybe they're perceived
to be hardcore leftists in both cases. I believe.
Yeah.
Or maybe there's just not enough to secure the vote. Maybe there's more of Trump's base than there is of people that would support hard left policies. Maybe the centrists would like much like the progressives didn't vote for Hillary in 2016, maybe the centrists wouldn't vote for Bernie in 2020.
Yeah.
Who knows?
Yeah. It's true. I don't think Trump may well have another term.
Either way, I think you might be onto something, Denton. He also predicts his celebrity deaths.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Interesting.
Betty White, Prince Charles, Alex Trebek.
Prince Charles. Alex Trebek. Oh, yeah. I thought he'd already died, but he's still alive, isn't he?
Jimmy Carter. And one of the Backstreet Boys.
Okay. Yeah, you've always got to put in a
particular reason.
You've got to put in a wild card in there.
Yeah.
I don't know the state of the Backstreet Boys, whether one of them's sick or anything, whether that's a genuine prediction.
Like my wild card. I said in the Patreon announcement of this was Demi Lovato a couple of years back, and then she almost did die.
Did she?
And it was a complete wild card because I knew she was a little bit.
Yeah.
You know.
Crazy.
Interesting, let's say. And then she almost did, and but she didn't, and so I missed out on that that sportsman's wager.
Fair enough.
I'm not going to say shame because, of course, we don't want anyone to die.
Well, Brian Benica says on the subject of celebrity deaths, and it brings it back around to politics again. Ginsburg, referring to Ruth Bader Ginsburg, will probably die before the U.S. election, which is an interesting one.
Yeah.
Because we're in an election year now.
Yeah.
So if she does, then will the Republicans put another Supreme Court justice on the
interesting
on the thing?
Yeah.
Interesting. It could be an interesting one. I mean,
other ones to think about are is the Clinton body count going to increase? Will we have another assassinated president? No one's mentioned that.
Will Trump die? Yeah.
No.
Security's too high.
It's too hard to kill a president these days.
It's just too hard.
It's too hard.
I've looked into it. Yeah.
It's not to do with celebrity deaths, but it is kind of... Death might be involved. Josh Tromatek says, with the fires in Australia, Josh's home country.
Oh, okay.
Hey, Josh. The economy will crash hard and will basically become the Mad Max films.
Well, oh, wow. It might be as dusty.
It will be, It will be pretty dusty. Yeah.
The economy will crash. That's an interesting one.
I mean, the market's always about perception, aren't they, and trust. And so if the perception is that the fires are spreading and will cause, I don't know, even more damage and damage to industry, then without actually affecting the cities directly, it could have a negative impact. Whether that will actually happen this next year, I'm not sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
On this, by the same token, Joseph Donahue says Australia will have a mild summer next year because there's nothing left to burn after this year, which is a very depressing depressing. But did you see it actually rained? In Australia. Yeah, it rains in some region, but then it immediately caused floods. And then the floods washed all the ash from the...
But that was helping things regrow, wasn't it?
What?
Ash.
Well, the rain.
Yeah.
The ash. Well, it washed all the ash into rivers and streams and then killed loads of fish. So they can't seem to catch a break.
No, I feel very sorry for your country at the moment, Josh.
Yeah.
Ecosystems are delicate things, aren't
they? It is headline news over here too.
It really is, yeah.
Every day pretty much. The climate change in general has become much more of an issue. I'd say even in the last couple of months, it's been a lot more talk about it.
But as always, there's lots of talk about it. Lots of people seem to express their desire to do something about it. Then they keep electing governments who won't do anything about it.
Yep.
Even in Australia, sad to say.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's the horrible irony of all of this.
Seems to be the centre-right and the right-wing parties, the ones who care least about climate change, seem to be the ones who have a really good chokehold on power, in the West at least.
Mm. I mean, at the same time, because there hasn't been a viable alternative or an alternative elected, we don't necessarily know what the opposition would do if they were in power themselves, right? They can give all the talk, but would they actually give the funding to change? We wouldn't know.
And in fairness, this has been decades kicking the can down the road. So it's just when is the can kicking going to stop, I guess. Yeah. Asha Holland says the US election will be a shit show. Someone will probably get killed, which is a...
Okay, there we go.
A bold claim.
Just a person or someone?
Yeah, maybe I don't know who he's...
Like a riot could happen and someone could die. Is that what he means? Yeah.
Maybe.
I could believe that, definitely.
Yeah. The NHS will be sold off for a fiver. A game that is wildly hyped will turn out to be bad. Someone will try and make LGBTQ illegal again. Disney will buy another property. And the UK will ask for an extension to Brexit. So... We've got a lot of things.
A lot of those make sense, actually.
Yeah.
So, what would the? Should we go through a few of those?
Yeah. Okay.
So, what ones were there?
The top one.
So, the U.S. election will be a shit show.
Yes,
I fully agree.
I think everyone would agree with that.
Yeah.
The NHS will be sold off for a fiver. Oh, there's a thorny topic.
I think there'll be a continual deconstruction, but it'll be done under cloak and dagger, as it has been for quite a few years.
I saw that they were getting rid of the, you know, they have wait times. What is it?
Targets.
Yeah. They're getting rid of the targets.
A good one.
Because they weren't being met.
Yeah.
Well, they were always, it was never ever reached.
So there was that. A game that is wildly hyped will turn out to be bad.
Ooh.
Yeah, which one? Surprise.
Yeah. Cyberpunk that always has been happens. Pushed back already, isn't it?
I'm really worried about Cyberpunk. I really hope that it's like as good as it's promised, but it's very ambitious, I think.
Be pushed back and then rubbish. That would just destroy a lot of people.
Yeah.
It will be rubbish. It'll probably, I think people are spoiled. In every media, whether it's film or TV shows or whatever, as soon as there's hype, you're doomed to fail.
And there's a lot of hype.
You can never
there's
a lot hype of hype.
That's true.
But it will actually be a perfectly serviceable game.
Yeah, yeah.
That is probably more entertaining than most games. But because people have massive expectations and because games take so long to develop, so people have time to think about them.
Disney will buy another property.
Not this year.
Oh,
these things take too long to sort out. So they announce it like a year before it happens.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay.
Who's at the top of the list?
Warner Brothers. They won't, probably. What properties? There was a rumor that they might go after James Bond. Because at the moment, the next Bond movie, which is coming out in April, is under a one-picture deal, distribution deal with Universal.
Mm.
Yeah.
So after that, James Bond will be up for sale again.
They only really give a shit, though, about... Yeah, that makes sense, because it's a franchise.
Yeah.
It's something they can expand into other... they want to make TV series, for instance, other universes,
if they want.
Merchandise as well.
And right now, because Daniel Craig is stepping down, now's the time that everyone's like, we want to buy Bond.
Yeah.
Because we can do it our way. With our guy.
That's interesting.
Woman. Yeah.
So I loved, this was my favorite comment, I have to say.
Okay. Yeah.
This one's from Ian Davidson, says, Steve Buscemi tragically dies from potassium poisoning in the making of Marvel's Banana Man Origins. His death sparks controversy over the ethics of the film industry as a video is leaked depicting Buscemi losing it with director David Fincher after being asked to repeat the when Eric eats a banana scene for the 127th time. He also predicts a border collie beats Donald Trump in the US election by less than 100 votes. President Rover led his campaign by promising to build a fence around immigrant sheep. Shares and pedigree chum reach an all-time high. The remaining Chuckle Brother inadvertently invents a cure for cancer by crashing his unbalanced quadricycle into a chemistry lab, mixing titanium and uranium together, making the wonder cure known as TIU.
Wow.
TIU.
Wow. I mean, you have titanium, an inventive brain uranium. There.
Yeah.
I love it. All true. Yeah.
All true. Definitely going to happen.
I think that's the most believable.
Steve Buscemi dying actually might happen. Maybe not from potassium overdose, but we'll find out.
Yeah.
The other Chuckle Fincher. Brother. Unbalanced quadricycle. Very good.
So good.
Nice.
Congratulations on a fantastic
Banana Man
post.
Is not Marvel though, is it?
No.
Banana Man
belongs to Beano, I guess.
Okay.
They will be Marvel eventually, won't they?
Yeah. Well, I think that was all the comments that we had on Patreon.
Amazing.
That we've had a look at. So
thank you so much.
Thank you. Yeah.
Some great stuff there.
That was really good.
What do you guys think?
What will happen in 2020?
Yeah. What's the most believable prediction? Do you think the Olympics are going to be good, 2020?
Probably.
Olympics in Japan.
Tokyo. Well, it depends how you define good. Good for somebody.
The Rugby World Cup was amazing in Japan.
It was.
So apparently the Japanese hosts were like incredible, so hospitable. It ran really efficiently, even though there was like, tornadoes, what are they called? Typhoon, cyclone. And yeah, so that was amazing. So I imagine the Olympics would just be that, but on such a big scale.
Yeah, I haven't looked into it, but I really must check out the Olympic Stadium site and the Olympic Village. That's what they call it.
Yeah.
Because Japan's not exactly bursting with space.
No, true.
True.
But
they have to build upwards. It'd be fine.
Yeah.
I've heard that they've got an artificial meteor shower for the opening ceremony. So it's
sounds good.
This thing that goes
into space,
and then they burn it up in the atmosphere with all these colors.
Yeah.
So it's actually like shooting stars across the.
Wow!
Incredible!
Wow!
Which is wasteful, but incredible.
Oh, yeah.
It's like fireworks, but taken to a completely next level. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's going to be good.
It's going to be good.
Yeah.
And then Paralympics will probably just get largely ignored.
As always. Yeah.
It didn't in London, actually. It was good.
It was quite good.
It was sponsored by some major, major players.
Did I ever tell you that the opening ceremony for the Paralympics, I was watching it on TV. I just tuned in when Coldplay started.
Oh, yeah.
And Coldplay were doing the song Paradise.
I'd never
heard it
before.
It was like, the way he was singing it, I genuinely was in shock. I was just like, is he singing Paralyzed?
Paralyzed.
I was like, this is not
Paralyzed.
And then someone showed me the lyrics.
Wow. They're taking this quite literally.
Oh, that's a swing and a miss there.
Yeah. That's a good point.
And then someone showed me the lyrics and it was all fine.
Okay, so that's the Olympics. So that's in the summer.
Yeah,
that's
and then the 2020
election. We've already said. I think
Donald Trump
will probably
get a term there.
Yeah, it'll be close though.
Yeah, and with that, should we move on to a quiz?
Yeah, let's have a quiz. Gentlemen, welcome to this week's quiz.
Woo!
Yeah.
Martin, you won last week, so you are currently 1-0 up.
Champione.
That's right. We're keeping a running total of the quizzes.
Oh, no.
So Martin's got advantage.
Okay.
As always, 10 questions plus a bonus question, which we'll do anyway because,
tiebreaker kind of or not. We'll do it.
Yeah.
Let's hear your buzzers. Robin, what have you got for me?
That's exactly what they'll be expecting us to do.
Oh.
That is none other than William Shatner. From Airplane 2, the sequel.
Okay, I haven't seen Airplane 2. I've only seen the first one.
Oh, that's good.
I didn't realize that they actually made a sequel, and it came on the TV one day, and I was like, what is happening? This is mad.
Yeah, I didn't know that.
It's not as good, but it's still good.
Fair enough.
I've seen it.
No. Martin, what's your buzzer?
Oops.
Almost just
smashed the table. Mine's a classic from a sports reporter.
And boom goes the dynamite.
So if you haven't seen that...
Oh my god,
what was that?
That was another sound effect that just came on afterwards. Backer.
Drive the
power. I don't want that one, I want the first one, thanks. Boom goes the dynamite. Yeah.
Okay, cool.
There it is again.
There you go.
That's a great one.
If you haven't seen that video, it's excruciating.
That sounds appealing. Okay. Question one.
Ooh.
The asteroid belt lies between which two planets in the solar system?
And boom goes the dynamite.
I think Robin just got in there. Yeah. That was a race between buzzers, I think.
It was. Is it Mars and Jupiter, isn't it?
It is Mars and Jupiter, yes.
Well done.
Nice little simple one.
Get you going.
Yeah.
Get the blood pumping, so to speak.
Yeah. Exactly.
It's all downhill from here.
Question two.
Yep.
During which month in 1666 did the Great Fire of London rage for 4 days? We've both covered that. We've covered this in the topic.
Oh.
I'm going to go... What the hell's that? I'm going to go for... Sorry.
Oh, no.
I have the high ground.
I have the high ground.
This is a guess, but I'm going to go for a summer month because that makes more sense. I'm going to go for or summerish month. May.
It is not May.
Okay.
That's exactly what
they'll be
expecting us to do.
What? Say May?
You know, I'm really disappointed with myself that I don't know this because we've made videos about it before.
Yep. The months are difficult, though. It's a difficult one to remember.
I'm going
to
say October.
It is not October.
Okay. I knew it wasn't.
I mean, I imagine that we only get one more guess each, otherwise we'd just we'd give it up.
Yeah.
I'm going to go for...
And boom goes the Dino.
July.
It is not July.
Damn it!
That's exactly what they'll be expecting us to do.
August.
It's not August.
What is it?
Done.
So I give you a clue?
No, that's all right.
It was September.
Would have been my next guess.
See, yeah. August, September, close. October. I was in the right region.
You went August, October.
I just skipped the actual month.
Yeah.
Silly boy.
Okay, 1-0 still.
Question three. In which year did the Boeing 747 make its maiden flight?
Ooh.
Closest wins. I'll accept closest wins on this one.
That's exactly what they'll be expecting us to do.
1963.
Okay.
I was going to go for a little bit later.
Yeah,
I was going to go for the 70s. I was thinking 1974.
Okay. 1974. If it's closest wins, Martin wins, and it's very close, actually. Wait, 73? Yes. Yes, Martin wins by 1 year.
No.
It was 1969.
Oh,
you said 1963.
I did. Yeah, so I was 6 years off.
So you were four years off. You were 5 years off. Six years off.
Oh. Did I say 1973?
69.
It's 4 years off.
Yeah. So it was later. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I think it was 60s. I thought it was like early. Mm. Obviously, I said it. But you know what I mean.
Yeah.
I didn't realize it was that late.
It was a huge technological advancement that was probably overshadowed by the moon landing. So.
Slightly. yeah. I have the high ground.
Get your buzzers in order, or I'm going to start deducting points.
Can't control the chat. The chat now.
I figured it out. I got it. Okay.
I get the joke.
Okay, so that's one all.
One all.
Question four. What type of creature is a remora?
How do you spell that?
R-E-M-O-R-A.
Can you use it in a sentence?
The remora is what type of creature?
Remora. Uh-huh, the remora.
The remora.
Okay.
It's a very simple, like,
yeah,
the baseline animal terms.
Yeah, sure, sure.
It's not a specific thing.
More specific than insect.
A type of animal.
Not
right?
really.
Okay.
Not really. Oh.
Okay.
And boom goes the dynamite.
Lizard.
Not a lizard.
A lizard. Remora.
Remora. It sounds.
It's a good guess. Yeah.
And that kind of thing.
Sounds a bit lizardy. Right.
A fish.
It is a fish.
Yes.
That generic.
Well, there we go.
Bird fish. Yeah, that's what you. That's okay.
It's a bird fish. Is it?
The bird fish.
It's not a bird
what
fish.
What is it?
You just said bird.
What type of fish?
I don't know.
Do you know anything about it?
It's a remora.
Oh, come on. Can you eat it? I'm guessing not. I've never seen it on the menu. Or have no. I?
I don't know.
You're not giving us information, Alex.
Doesn't matter.
Could be endangered, could not.
Look, you've learned.
We'll never know.
Look, you've learned something. And that's
if you fancy looking up a remora and telling us what it is, please do.
Use our Twitter handles. I'm at All Time Robin.
I'm at All Time Martin for now.
I'm at Alex Brown ATC, which we should change. I looked at changing mine
and like, Just Interesting Martin and Martin Just Interesting. They're all taken.
No,
so
I'm really,
there's too many characters.
Just Martin Trusting.
Yeah, I'm going to have to do some kind of play around of like J.I. or I don't know. We'll see.
We'll see.
J.I.M. Just Interesting J-I-M. Martin. Jim.
At Jim. I think it might be taken.
I don't know. You never know.
Okay, question five.
2-1.
2-1 to Robin. What? Sorry. How many English kings feature in the titles of Shakespeare plays?
Oh.
And boom goes the dynamite.
Martin. Six.
It's not six.
There's too many.
You were very. I thought you were,
that was so quick. I thought
super confident
there. Is this a question of how many Shakespeare plays have kings in the name, or how many
in the title, right?
Feature in the title.
Yeah, so or how many different kings are featured in play titles?
I think it's just kings and titles. Like I
so how many plays have kings in their titles?
Yes, I think that's the question.
So
specifically English?
How many English kings?
Okay. How many can I remember?
Okay,
I'm looking this up.
I've got my backup.
My buzzer's gone.
That's exactly what they'll be expecting
us to go. Go on then.
I'm assuming this is wrong. It's four.
That is wrong.
Yeah. Four's wrong. That only leaves three. That only leaves three, Alex. That only leaves three.
That's not three.
What? No, I wasn't saying three. I was just saying that only leaves three. Others. So it must be four plus three. It must be seven.
I'm so confused right now.
I said three. That was my guess.
Oh, okay. No, it's not three either.
I was trying to work my way around.
There's no way to give you a clue, is there?
No.
Yeah.
Okay, should we go through them together?
Go on.
Richard III.
A good point. I'd forgotten about that.
King Lear.
Ah, this is my question.
Is King Lear an English?
I would say no.
No. So then you've got... What ones are there?
Macbeth. Scottish. Obviously doesn't count. Henry.
No. Henry. This is my question.
Like, because there's several Henry plays.
There are.
But it's the same Henry.
I think it's like the plays, not the... It can count.
It's going to be more, though.
So it can count. Mm. Henry can count multiple times.
Yeah.
So a few of those, aren't there?
Yeah.
Fifth is one.
Henry the Fifth. Yeah. Multiple parts.
Are we going to
Was there a Henry the Fourth part one and two, or was it just a Henry the Fourth once? Was there even a Henry the Fourth?
Why do you do this to us, Alex? Why do you do this to us?
I'm going to tell you the answer.
Just tell us. Okay, I don't think we're going
to have another guess. I've had two guesses. You have another guess.
Oh, what have we got to? Five. Did you say five?
No.
It is not five. Oh. No, tons, there's eight.
There's eight. Fair enough.
There's eight. Do you want the list?
Yeah.
There's Edward III.
Oh.
Richard. Oh, wait. No, sorry. Sorry. Misunderstanding. There's actually nine. Edward III is believed by some scholars to be authored by Shakespeare, but it has not historically been included in the Shakespeare canon.
Okay, because I wasn't familiar with
Richard II, Henry the Fourth, Part One.
Ah, there we go. There's your
part two. Henry the Sixth, Part One, Part Two, and Part Three.
Oh gosh.
Henry the Fifth and Richard the Third.
So King Lear didn't come into it.
Right.
Yeah. English kings.
I see.
All right.
There you go.
Got all about English Henry VI, Part 1, 2, and 3. Crazy.
Okay, 8. Interesting.
So there you go.
Fountain of knowledge.
Question 6. Neither of you got that point?
No.
So it's 2-1 to Robin still.
Yeah.
Who plays the title role in the US television series Buffy the Vampire Slayer? And boom goes the dice. Martin?
Sarah Michelle Gellar.
It is Sarah Michelle Gellar, yes.
Isn't she Sarah Michelle Prince Jr. now?
Not well, maybe. Yeah. Or maybe did she keep her name? Correct. A lot of famous people keep their names, don't they?
Yeah.
That's a good question, actually. Maybe I should.
Although professionally, she's still Sarah Michelle Gellar, so she counts. Yeah.
And I imagine when she played the role,
she was still. Yeah. Yeah.
And you got it. You got the answer.
Yeah, you got
so,
it.
So, 2-2. Question 7. In 2012, which film director became the first.
Kenny 2012.
Do you just interrupt? Okay, it's 2-1 to Robin again. Question 7. In 2012, which film director became the first solo diver to reach the bottom of the Mariana Trench in a submarine?
James Cameron.
It was James Cameron. Do you not see this? No. Oh, that's pretty big news.
It was Coney 2012 was taking up all the news, okay? Coney 2012 was taking the news and the Olympics are on. I didn't have time for James Cameron in a submarine.
Okay, fair enough. So that's 3-2. 3-2 to Robin. Ooh. Question 8.
Oh, it's close.
It is.
The second full moon occurring within a calendar month is known as what?
Oh, second full moon.
Oh. Occurring within a calendar month.
The something moon, I'm guessing.
I didn't mean to press that.
You would be right.
The second full moon in a month.
Second full moon is known as the...
I'm guessing it must be like right at the end of 1 month. Or like right at the start of the month and then right at the end, I guess. That's the only way it could happen.
Yeah, that would make sense, wouldn't it?
There's obviously a very specific name for it that we haven't heard of.
Do you want a clue? You
might have heard it and just not really thought about it.
Do you want a clue?
Yeah.
A fingers on buzzers clue?
Ooh. Is it?
Yep.
Once in a...
Ah! I don't even know who that was.
Come on, honest system. Who do you think got that?
I think mine froze, so I think Martin got that first.
Okay,
should we just say it both at the same time?
You don't know.
Well, no, because
you're not going to get it.
We're both going to get it.
Do you want to? Okay.
One of us has to get the point. So, Martin, go first.
But okay, blue.
There you go.
Once in a blue moon. Yeah.
Once in a blue.
So why is it once called in blue moon? Yeah.
Again, I don't know. I don't once know. That's not my job.
Do you mean so once rare. A month?
Okay. Question 9. Okay. There's 3-all. The Nanpu Bridge is in which Chinese city?
Ooh.
And boom goes the dynamite.
Martin.
Beijing.
It is not Beijing.
That's exactly what they'll be expecting us to do.
Stab in the dark. Kunming.
It is not Kunming.
What other Chinese cities?
Is it famous?
Yes.
Exactly what they'll be expecting us to do. Shanghai.
I mean, you had a second guess straight away. Is that allowed? Is that okay?
Yeah, go for it.
It is Shanghai, yes.
Thank Shanghai. You, Martin, for your that's gracious... Really
But just so you know, Robin, I'm frowning. frowning
bad behaviour.
I think after nice you've both had a guess, then it's open again, isn't it? For one of some, yeah, someone to buzz
that's
in.
What I assumed, but yeah.
Fair enough. Okay, so that's 4-3 to Robin as we go on to question 10.
Okay.
Which computer company... Oh, sorry.
It's weird. All good.
All good. Which computer company was founded in 1983 as the Control Video Corporation?
Control Video Corporation.
And boom goes the dynamite.
Martin.
Intel.
It was not Intel.
Control Video Corporation.
The Control Video Corporation.
Microsoft was 70s, wasn't it? Apple was definitely late 70s.
Yeah.
What other computer companies are there? Hewlett Packard's been around
for ages. Yeah.
What else we got? We got Dell? Are they?
Dell, Acer.
Yeah.
That's exactly what they'll be expecting us to do.
Is it Acer?
It is not Acer.
Oh.
And boom goes the dial. Is it Dell?
It's not Dell. I'll give you a little clue. It's kind of...
Do they make computers?
No. It's more of a kind of internet-y thing, I guess.
And boom goes the dynamite.
Martin.
Internet Explorer.
No, it's not Internet Explorer.
Ah. Oh, it's bigger than that.
AOL.
It's AOL.
Yeah.
Nice. I would have gone for AOL. Well done.
That's
very good.
Because AOL feels like they've always been AOL. That's AOL is so distinctive.
I imagine they changed their name shortly afterwards.
Yeah. CPC.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Cool. So was that, did Robin won 5-3?
5-3?
Possibly.
Yeah, very good, very good.
Oh. Nice game. So one each.
1-0, yeah.
In terms of games.
I mean, there's only one of us has lost all their games so far.
You've only played one.
I know, I'm joking.
Do you want the bonus question?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
This is one that I think you'll both know.
Okay.
And I'm interested to get your opinions on, actually.
Opinion? Yeah.
Who has been chosen to produce the Bond song for the, is it No Time to Die, the new one?
What's her name?
Billie Eilish.
That's it. It is. Yeah.
With her brother, right?
With her brother.
Must confess, only fully became aware of her existence when
when that happened.
When rumors circulated that she would be the singer.
You recognize one of her songs for sure.
I listened to her songs after they announced it. And I think there was one that I was like, I think I've heard this.
Yeah.
Interesting artist.
Mm.
What do you think?
I'd say you can never judge an artist and what they've made, whether they'll then make a good Bond song. It's not always the case.
It's difficult, yeah.
It's not always the case. Definitely, you can make a very, very good Bond song.
Yeah.
Then again, Madonna made a terrible Bond song.
That's true, she
and
did.
A lot of her back catalogue is pretty terrible too.
But so, presumably, Billie Eilish will be working at least in a small part with Hans Zimmer, who's the new composer.
Yes.
Right? Ooh.
Yeah, you'd imagine wouldn't
she's,
you?
She and her brother have written the song already, apparently, but the composer of the film is normally involved with the music of the song. So presumably Hans Zimmer will get involved. So that could be a really interesting combination.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, a lot of people have said, oh, we want someone classic. I'll go back to the Shirley Bassey days. And it's like, she wasn't picked because she sounded like Shirley Bassey. She was picked because she was popular at the time. They pick pop stars to do the songs, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And so when people are like, oh, we need someone who's more classical and want it to be more, it's like, well, these people were just pop stars for their time.
That is my only misgiving. Or not even misgiving, just kind of like, I don't know what to think. Because Billie Eilish's singing style is like mumblecore, right?
Yeah.
It's just, she can carry a tune.
I'm sure she can sing.
I just can't imagine. I don't know what she's going to do. And I can't imagine a Bond song with her style. It's kind of weird to think of it.
We'll see.
It's
interesting. Yeah. Interesting.
Bond songs are, it's one of those things. Even before this, for the last couple of weeks, a couple of weeks ago, I looked up like people's rankings of the Bond songs. I know we've discussed it ourselves.
Oh, yeah.
And we all have different ideas about which one's the best and which one's the worst. But they do go down in history as that will be on one of those lists. And you're just like, okay, we don't want it to be near the bottom, if possible.
Oh, yeah. At least even just within the Craig era, let alone in the Bond song era, there's a couple of songs that she can easily beat. Yeah.
Yeah.
So
this particular ranking that I looked at, can you guess what the bottom few were?
I don't know if you were. The Madonna one?
Yeah,
that was right at the bottom. That was the worst one.
Another Way to Die above that.
No, that wasn't on the bottom. This was bottom five, top five. So no, that wasn't.
That wasn't the bottom five.
No, I don't think it should be either. I like that one. Apart from the Strangled Cat breakdown bit.
Plus, half the song is terrible.
The beginning of it is good though.
Yeah, and then the song is terrible. Yeah,
pretend it was
all time high. I'm guessing they would have put.
Yeah, that was bottom five.
I like that though, but it's not. Yeah, it's forgettable.
No.
Are they also on those For Your Eyes Only haters?
Yep, that was from.
No, that's a great song. Great song.
The article you've read is bullshit.
I agreed with it in large. One of them I definitely didn't agree with was the other one that was not on the list, which is The Living Daylights. Good song.
Well, they put that
on the bottom five.
Yeah, I've encountered those kind of lists before. There's clearly a certain mindset that just like...
Yeah, I've encountered those lists.
Doesn't get
And of course, they put the ones they put right at the top, all the classic ones, aren't they? Like The Spy Who Loved Me.
What was that number one? Or
Goldfinger.
What was number one?
It was A Spy Who Loved Me. Number one. They had GoldenEye in the top five. From Russia with Love.
One of the best ones, but not top five.
Louis Armstrong, Her Majesty's Secret Service.
All the Time in the World, yeah.
I think A View to a Kill was there too.
Duran Duran.
I could put that in my top five.
I wouldn't put it in my top five. But you can't put that in the top five and then put Living Daylights in your
bottom
five.
Yes, that's what I was thinking. Yeah.
Those songs are so similar. You can't. Yeah. Yeah. That's mad.
See, Alex, I've made the classic mistake here of bringing up Bond songs. Yeah.
You'll learn, Alex. You'll learn. Yeah.
So, a question for next week's podcast is, what's your favorite Bond song? No, we'll talk about that another time. Speaking of questions, Martin, thank you for the quiz, Alex. Oh, that was really
welcome.
Good. That was
you're
great.
Welcome.
Yeah.
And how did you do at home? Let us know your score. No cheating. And thanks again to everyone who supported us on Patreon. We'll be putting out polls on the Patreon for what questions you want us to see us cover in future podcasts.
The custom video on there after this episode as well that you can click through and watch exclusively for patrons as well.
Exactly. And if not, then I hope you found this podcast just interesting.
Very good. Very good.
See you next time.